Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, here with you. Kevin Warren always had big shoes to fill. His predecessor, Jim Delaney, was a college sports titan and a visionary who helped set the Big Ten on a path that asserted itself as an unquestioned trendsetter in college sports, especially college football. Warren inherited a great situation, but just a few months into his tenure as Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren became the Big Ten's leader in crisis, a global pandemic. 5 months into that crisis, some are questioning Warren's leadership. How did we get here? How has Kevin Warren handled himself throughout it? And what's it mean for the future of him and the Big Ten? Adam Rittenberg, ESPN college football reporter, joins us next to discuss it right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everyone is talking about if.
I'm going to go to limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
Adam Rittenberg, thanks for joining us. Take me back, Adam, to the day that Kevin Warren got hired as Big Ten commissioner. Because what I remember is this was NFL guy kind of coming from the Vikings was a bit of a surprise. What did you think then of his hire and the situation he was stepping into?
Sure, it was a surprise. I mean, it wasn't a name that any of us had really heard of, and I guess that's a credit to the search process and the president for keeping it quiet. But, you know, Kevin had, you know, limited involvement in college athletics early in his career and then was pretty much an NFL executive. That's how he built, you know, his brand. And so, you know, I think a lot of people thought it would be, you know, someone like Northwestern athletic director Jim Phillips or someone who was more of a college insider versus an outsider. But, you know, again, the reviews were very positive, and you know, people thought that you know, obviously first African American commissioner of a major conference, there's a history behind that. And I mean, again, it was certainly not a name that we were thinking about, but somebody that made a lot of sense once you looked at his background.
I think what I was interested, Adam, is what he felt about the big issues of college athletics, because he didn't have that history, right? We didn't have a record on him, really, of how he felt about some of these things. And he was pretty quiet about those early on. And whether it was name, image, and likeness or whatever, did we learn anything in his first few months on the job about where he wanted to take this conference or what his big issues or where he felt, how he felt about certain issues before the pandemic kind of took hold of everything?
Sure. Well, you know, Kevin actually officially took over in September and then was obviously working with Jim Delaney, with Jim as still the front man of the Big Ten until New Year's Day, and then officially took over. So, you know, he didn't do any media during that time. He wanted to take that time to formulate opinions over the long term about some of those issues you just mentioned. You know, when I met with him in January in his office, he talked extensively about just wanting to improve the experience for athletes as much as possible and wanting to get around to campuses and talk to athletes and, you know, how to improve, you know, their access to mental health and, different initiatives around the student athlete experience. That was really the driver in a sense of his early commissionership. And then unfortunately, as you know, the pandemic hits and he doesn't get to make those trips around everywhere. And, and then it's just been, you know, kind of crisis mode ever since. So, you know, very difficult situation to walk into, but I will say he was consistent, really wanting to make the focus on the athletes. You know, I think Delaney wasn't as though he didn't care about that, but he was, he was focused more at times on finances and contracts and some of the those different elements that, you know, certainly made him a transformational commissioner.
That's a good point. I'm wondering, Adam, during this pandemic, I think the Big Ten was the first of the major conferences to shut down the basketball tournament, their conference tournament. How has that kind of guided him through this pandemic?
Well, I think they had to, get a plan together as quickly as possible because of that. I think they put together their group, the Infectious Diseases Task Force, in March, and they've been talking ever since and, trying to plan ahead. I know there's been a lot of calls with athletic directors, and pretty much every day Kevin Warren has been on the phone with them, which, and I asked Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber about this earlier today, in that, you had so much communication leading up to the decision. Was there enough around the actual decision? And, it's just hard to tell at this point because people have a lot of questions and there weren't a lot of details offered, not just by Kevin Warren, but really we haven't heard from the Big Ten presidents and chancellors who made this decision. And so, I think there was good communication, or at least a lot of communication, throughout this process, and different groups were talking with Kevin Warren, whether it was the experts on the campuses as far as infectious diseases, or the sports medicine group, which he referred to in announcing the fall postponement, which is athletic trainers and others, in that background who have that type of expertise. So I don't think it was a decision that was uninformed, because there was a lot of meetings and a lot of discussion, but we could certainly talk about the actual process of the decision and some of the concerns around that.
Yeah. Adam Rittenberg, about 10 days ago, 11 days ago, the Big Ten released its revised schedule and teams started practicing. Correct me if I'm wrong of my impression, but that seemed to signal to me that they were at least going to try to play college football season in a pandemic. Am I right in that assumption? Did you feel that way too?
Well, I think, when you do that, it does signal publicly that, there's going to be an attempt. Now, even at that time, I think there was a lot of qualifying language from Kevin Warren, talking about the season more as an if, not a definite. And I think he knew that it was going to be tough even at that point to start and have a season go uninterrupted and not have some major issues. But they were pretty committed to starting Labor Day weekend instead of moving the start of the season back like the SEC and the Pac-12 did at the time, which certainly can be questioned now that they went the route they did. Why not just give yourself as much time as possible to make the decision? But they clearly had enough information, at least most of the league, that they didn't think things were going to change a whole lot between now and when you really have to make those types of choices.
Yeah, a few days later, we start to see reporters like yourself, Adam, who reported well on this, that the Big Ten season could be in peril. Have we yet learned what changed in those couple days, or how much changed for the presidents and chancellors to vote or not vote or come to the decision to postpone its fall season?
Right. Well, I don't think it was necessarily one bit of information. Yeah. There's certainly a lot of the conversation around the long-term effects of COVID-19, including some that have been experienced by Big Ten athletes, heart condition, myocarditis, and other issues that were, learning that they're happening. We don't really know that much about them, at least the experts don't. I know that Kevin Warren had some long conversations with both the infectious diseases group and the sports medicine group on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading into that weekend. And then you obviously had the MAC decision to postpone on the Saturday morning. And then there was another call between athletic directors on Saturday. I think, Josh Whitman, you were on the call when Josh said, the conversations really got moving on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we reported kind of late afternoon that the Big Ten presidents were mostly in alignment around postponement. But then you didn't have a decision for a couple more days. And that's when things got really odd and I would say really bad for the Big Ten, just as far as the public disagreements and discord and some of the things that you just don't see very often in the conference, coming from coaches and others. So it was a very tumultuous stretch, if you think about it, between Wednesday you announced the schedule, and then those meetings get going Thursday, Friday, MAC postpones on Saturday, things really ramp up, Kevin's talking to the presidents, and then I think by Sunday, the league had reached its position where it was going to ultimately land, which was the postponement of fall sports.
And Adam, there you hit on it. The discord in the days after is different. You've covered the Big Ten for a very long time. This is obviously unprecedented, so you can understand where the emotions are. But coaches, whether it's Scott Frost or Ryan Day, talking about playing outside the Big Ten, and obviously that probably won't happen. But some athletic directors have been, voiced some disappointment in this. And of course, many players and parents, and you have parents writing letters, Justin Fields getting a petition to come back and play. What's this tell us about how the Big Ten, the presidents and chancellors, and how Kevin Warren kind of handled this, or in ways that maybe they mishandled this?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's even questions with Sandy Barber from Penn State saying today that was there even a formal vote taken, or did they just kind of reach this agreement where they could go forward and make an announcement? I think there's certainly, some questions about why there wasn't more on the front end of explaining the process to everybody, because it was such a big decision. And, I think that's where the Big Ten fell short. If you look at the Pac-12, have we heard any parent groups from the Pac-12 up in arms about their decision to postpone? No. Have we heard any coaches coming out and saying, why are we doing this? This is wrong. Let's fight. Hashtag we want to play. You didn't see any of that from the Pac-12. They had a call with coaches on the Monday night with medical people that I really think explained the process as well as they could to the coaches. Did all the coaches agree? Probably not, mm-hmm. but they understood what went into the decision. That same medical group got on with the president on the Tuesday in advance of their vote, which they said was a unanimous vote to postpone. And so I think that's where the Big Ten really struggled is, They get to their decision on Sunday and they're in a place where most of the presidents want to postpone, then you have to handle the communication piece better. You got to communicate to your coaches and have that discussion. It may not be a great discussion, but it's a discussion that you have to have. And then I think from a public, I know we're in the media, we're both biased and we want information. You have to have that out there a little bit better than the Big Ten did. You have to have a document like the Pac-12 put out to explain its thought process. Does that mean that these parent groups don't send letters and they're not upset and Justin Fields doesn't start a petition? I don't know, but at least there wouldn't be as strong an argument on their end for where's the transparency, where are the details, why did you really do this? Explain it better than a news release. And I think we both agree a pretty underwhelming interview on BTN from Kevin Warren. And again, I think Kevin was exhausted. And he's been in a really tough spot, and neither of us are in that position. So I think he deserves a little benefit of the doubt. But again, if that's it, you have to provide more. And I think, again, if you're relying on the science, if you're relying on these groups of experts, then we need to hear from them or at least get a view into their thought process. And that's where the Big Ten fell short.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, both these presidents and chancellors and Commissioner Warren, are put in a bad spot. This is a very tough place to be, but these are the leadership positions you sign up for, even if you don't expect a pandemic. So, obviously people are questioning, criticizing Kevin Warren and his leadership through this. What is a potential ramification of this for him as he moves forward? He's going to be here, Adam, and I think he'd been impressive in other times. So what is the actual fallout of this for Kevin Warren and how he proceeds as a leader of the Big Ten?
Well, I think it's a really important time, Jeremy, for him to start mending these relationships and trying to get out in front of some of the issues. I think it's concerning that there hasn't been much said from the league here the last few days. Maybe that changes, and I'm sure you've reached out for comment. I've reached out for comment, and there hasn't been a whole lot. But again, it's an odd position to be in because you know, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that Kevin Warren will be right and the Big Ten will be right and nobody will be able to play this fall. You know, you're seeing University of North Carolina just moments ago announcing that they are going to go online classes only because they've already had so many outbreaks on campus. They've barely been back on campus. That could be the reality almost everywhere. And I think that would certainly push presidents that haven't decided to postpone. Maybe that's all they needed to get there. But if those other leagues go forward and play and have a successful season and there's not much interruption and they're in the playoff and they're in bowl games, it's going to be very hard, I think, for Kevin and, you know, in a sense, some of these Big Ten presidents to overcome this because of the damage that it'll do to the conference, especially if they're unable to get a spring season off the ground. So, are you rooting for the virus? Are you rooting for these other leagues to have problems? You're not. But if they go through relatively unscathed and you're sitting out, it's going to be a really tough situation for everybody.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot on the line right now for all these commissioners and presidents and chancellors, and it'll be interesting to see how it all falls out. Last thing for you, Adam, and always appreciate your time. How realistic is a spring season? How can the Big Ten pull this off?
You know, I want to learn more about it, Jeremy. I'm not trying to avoid the question. It's almost one of these things that it depends on who you talk to. Some people say there's no way you could do it. And oftentimes that's a typical football coach response because it's new. And I'm glad that like people like Jeff Brohm and Ryan Day and other coaches and administrators in the Big Ten are at least, you know, thinking about, okay, how could we do this? Mm-hmm. How would this work? They obviously have to sort out eligibility and some of the other hurdles. You know, obviously, if it's not safe enough to do it, then it's going to be a hard conversation. But assuming that things improve and they have greater presidents have greater comfort to go forward with the spring season, it absolutely merits a lot of time and energy because I think even though a number of players wouldn't participate, I think anyone with a real serious NFL aspiration would have a hard time putting on pads, you know, just a few months before the draft. But I think some would, and a lot of the younger players would benefit from it, as would a lot of the seniors who that's the last time they're ever going to play football at a highly competitive level. And so I hope that there's at least an attempt to put together a strong plan. And it was, you know, it's a little disheartening to hear some of the comments from those in the league sources I've talked to about how little planning there was for the spring possibility prior to the postponement. But now the season's postponed. There's certainly time. There's certainly energy into that process. And I hope they give it their best shot.
I guess this is more big picture, Adam. How does college sports come out of this changed?
Well, I think everything's going to have to be looked at. You know, I think the easy response that a lot of people think it's going to be, oh, you just cut a bunch of programs. And you understand it's not that simple. Mm-hmm. A lot of those athletes pay tuition. A lot of those programs are not as big a burden on the bottom line as some other areas. But, you know, unfortunately, I think staffing is going to have to be changed. I think the good thing is a lot of these facilities are already done or paid for with outside money. But I just think the entire operation is gonna look a lot different, in the future as far as how many people are in an athletic department, how the major sports are operated, how can the minor sports operate differently, almost like club teams in some cases. Do you need to get on plane very often if you're with an Olympic sport? I'd have a big problem with that if I'm an AD after this pandemic. So, can you make it work and still have it be a worthwhile experience and compete for something without costing me thousands and thousands of dollars as an athletic director? So those are all tough questions and tough conversations that are going to have to be had. But I really do think it's going to look quite different in a year from now.
Given the, Players United statements we saw, and now the players trying to play and some willing to sign a waiver, does this expedite or change any of the possibilities of changing the amateurism model that we've been talking about before the pandemic?
Well, I think it's worth having the discussion. I get the sense from talking to sources that presidents would rather not play this season than go to a full professional model, right. which a lot of people think you have to have if you were to go into like a bubble format like the NBA has had or the NHL is having. And so, that's a conversation that certainly concerns a lot of people in college sports is, is are we going away from the amateurism? Even if we give NIL, how much further is this going to go? And so it's going to be interesting to see how the conversations evolve from those groups that spoke out. And you do wonder whether the athletes who were more focused on having the season, if they had put that message out there earlier in this process in June or July, before the Pac-12 United or the Big Ten United movement got going, would that have changed this this timeline or this conversation? It's hard to know. There's a lot of what ifs, but I think the sequencing of it, the Pac-12 group saying do this or else we won't play, and then the Big Ten group, to a lesser extent, saying we need these demands met. That definitely got on the radar of these presidents, and probably factored into their decision along with all the other information they got.
So many interesting things going on in the college athletics world. Adam Rittenberg, always appreciate the insight, my friend.
All right, thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
There's so many layers to this, so much on the line, whether you're on the Big Ten and Pac-12 and all these other smaller conferences deciding to postpone the season. And while you have the ACC, SEC, and the Big 12 pushing forward, what's that look like? What's the fallout for whoever side looks correct in the end? For Commissioner Kevin Warren, what's on the line for that? Just early leadership, right? But obviously the process for the Big Ten has seemed flawed. The message not being unified has seemed flawed for the Big Ten. And Kevin Warren's got to learn from that. And I think that's what we come across with Adam Rittenberg in our conversation there. All right, appreciate Adam Rittenberg's time. One of the best to cover college athletics, especially college football. Been covering the Big Ten for a really long time. If you don't already, subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us. We appreciate when you do that. Also, don't forget this whole month at 24/7 Sports. It's our 10-year anniversary at 24/7 Sports. So they're offering 50% off a VIP subscription, your first year of annual subscription. That's more than $50 of savings. You can sign up now at IlliniInquirer.com. Because even though sports aren't happening at this moment, we're still covering the heck out of Illinois, the latest with football recruiting, basketball recruiting. And I just talked with an NFL scout here recently about the process and what it looked like for some of these Illini guys, how they are impacted. I'll have that coming up for our VIP subscribers, as well as answering all your questions with our mailbags as well. Thank you as always for listening. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.